But I would like to introduce Luke Grover, that's going to bring the Word of God to us right now. And may you give him all your attention. And may the Holy Spirit open our ears so that we can hear.
Can you hear me? I like to kind of move around, so if I have more space, then I like to make people nervous, you know, when you're talking. Some people don't like it when you walk down the aisle and you're talking. It's like, ooh, what's he going to do? Ooh. It's okay to let God close to you and other people. I'm not saying I'm God. No. But it's okay to let God get close to every area of our lives. Isn't that the truth? Huh? So, Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray that you would reveal yourself to us more and more. We thank you that you are in the transformation business, that you never stop working. You never stop striving to bring us into fullness and maturity and growth in you. Thank you, God. Thank you for all these testimonies of praise about how you are working and you never stop. And we want to continue to battle. We do know that life is a battle. Following you is a battle. But you want us to keep popping back up because of what you have done for us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and peace that makes that possible. We ask that you would work in this time in your name. Amen. Please, as you're listening, pray for me, even that I would say what God wants me to say and that God would have full editing ability, because he's good at doing that. I accepted the Lord when I was 7 years old. Missionaries. My parents were missionaries. They've been pastors. I've been around the ministry. I've been around church stuff all my life. Okay? Accepted the Lord when I was 7. Always wanted to follow God. Felt some growth. Felt some good things happening. But also had these little, they're called besetting sins. Okay? Ever heard of what a besetting sin is? A besetting sin is something that kind of keeps getting you every once in a while. Right? And it just never stops. And you get it away for a while, and then it keeps coming back. Okay? And I know I'm not the only one that struggled with that, so, but you don't have to raise your hand. So, but, okay? That happens in our life. 28 years old. How many years is that? 13 years? All of a sudden, grace and peace of God starts to really land on me, and the light bulb starts to go on, and real amazing change starts to happen. Now my question to you is, I knew all the theory, I knew all of the head stuff about grace and peace and love of God and God wanting to change my life. I knew all that when I was 7, 8, 9, 10, 13, 15. But why did it take till I was 28 before all of a sudden the theory became reality? The shadow became substance. So I have a kind of a life motto, and it's kind of goofy and weird. I hate theory. I hate theory. I'm sick and tired of hearing all these people stand up in our media and in our churches and say, well, if we just do this and this and this, then poof, we'll get the result. Amen. You know what? I don't want theory in my life. I want reality. Amen. I don't want the theory of God's love for me. I want the reality of God's love for me. Amen. I don't want the theory of grace. I want the reality of grace. I don't want the theory of peace. I want real peace. Real peace that is not in any way affected by my circumstances. Philippians 1 verse 3 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That phrase is at the beginning of almost all of Paul's letters. You know how when you're talking to somebody, the first thing that you say to them kind of sets the tone for everything? When you see somebody, you haven't seen them for a long time, what do you usually do? You shake their hand and say, hi, how you doing? You don't go, dude, that tie's ugly. Why are you wearing that? Okay? It's kind of important to say something important at the beginning. So I hope you let this land on you, that what God is saying to you is that the reality of His grace and His peace is what God most wants to give you as you encounter Him. And He doesn't want you to wait from your age 7 to age 28 to have the light turn on. He wants it to happen now. Now. So, I love this verse because it kind of breaks down as a nice little sermon outline. Grace and peace to you. Some versions say grace to you and peace. Some say grace and peace to you. Either way, grace is kind of important. Peace is kind of important. And where it's going is important, right? To you. You would be singular and plural. Okay. We'll get to that in a second. And then where? From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of important if I said to you, grace to you and peace from me, you'd be like, you look at me and go, yeah, dude, I don't think you got what it takes to give me grace and peace. It's just like somebody comes to you and says, I'm going to give you $1 million. You'd be like, well, let me look at your bank account and I'll see if you have what it is to give me $1 million to determine if you can actually follow through on your promise. So grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Unlimited resources. So let's break this down a little bit. Grace. If we want to talk about grace, there's a lot of churches named Grace. Have you noticed that? There's a lot of songs where grace is in it. There's even a lot of people with the name Grace. I love grace. As long as it's real grace. The real thing. Not theory of grace. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. Now, it's kind of interesting that when Paul said this, It's in red in my Bible. And he says, and he said to me. And this is, Paul was talking to God. And of course, if you know this passage, what the conversation that Paul was having with God was all about a thorn in his flesh. It was all about weakness. Okay? It wasn't about his capability and all of the things that he could do. It was about what he couldn't do. And the Bible says, Paul says, I asked the Lord 3 times to take this thorn away from me. We just got done with the prayer and praise time. Okay? Sometimes we pray for things and God says, no. No. Because whatever that thing is that you want taken away is going to be used to show you how amazing my grace is. Okay. And that's kind of tricky because it feels like it's kind of like you're getting what you need and then you're not getting. And, well, you know, it feels almost like mystical. You know, it's like, well, maybe it's God's will that I get my answer and then I can praise Him. Or maybe it's God's will that I don't get my answer because through it I'll learn more and grow in Him. And I wish I could give you like a really solid formula. But isn't that kind of the point? There isn't a formula. If there was a formula, it wouldn't be grace. If there was a formula, it wouldn't be grace. How many people so easily believe in the Santa Claus God? Santa Claus God says, I do really good, I work really hard, I try to do things good, and then God will bless me. But if I'm naughty and I'm mean to my brother and I say bad things, then Santa God won't bless me. What does this say? My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your ability, in your trying really hard and doing it right. No, it says weakness. Have you ever been to Old Country Buffet and you had all that you needed to eat and it was a great time? And we tried to eat in a way not worshiping food, but enjoying it. But still, you probably had a little too much. And you walk out, and somebody comes up to you and says, dude, I have a wonderfully prepared prime rib steak that I just made personally for you. Do you want to eat this? Well, I'm kind of full right now. Give me 4 hours and I might be hungry. See, food is made perfect in hunger. Grace is made perfect in weakness. What did Jesus say? Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, because you will be filled. If you're starving and you've been in the desert with no food for 3 weeks solid, and I come up and I give you the worst food ever, you're still going to eat it because you're starving. No one has to tell you, hey, you should eat some food. When I realize my weakness, my frailty, all of a sudden, God's grace becomes amazing to me. What's so cool about grace is, if we use a monetary model, let's just use that, although grace is way more than money, way more. But let's use money as an example. The Bible says that when I sin, when I have even the smallest lustful thought, or I'm angry with my wife, or I say something mad here, or I get resentful towards somebody, even the smallest sin, the Bible says, is enough to make it so that I am closed and I am closed off from coming to Christ. The Bible also says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So even if I sin in the smallest way, and in every other way, I am just spot on, it's like I'm reaching for something and I miss it, but just a nail. But I miss that thing, and there's a cliff right here, and I just fall like 5,000 feet, and I go splat. All have fallen short of the glory of God. So all of us, even no matter how what we have done, we all start, let's use a nice monetary, it's just a round number, of 5 billion in the hole, okay? You're 5 billion in the hole. My Bible tells me that grace takes me when I admit what I need and I say, God, I have sinned. I have done what you do not want me to do. My only hope to make it in your eyes is the grace that you have made for me. Forgive me for my sin. Change me. Transform me. The Bible says, I am taken from 5 billion in the hole back to even. No, I don't want to be back to even. I want to be 5 billion in the black. Because last time I read my Bible, It talks all the time about if we are with Christ and we are in Christ, when Christ was raised, we are raised also. And where is Christ right now? He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is high above everything else. He is the wealthiest dude in town. And the truth is if I am in Christ, I am with Him, and I am $5 billion in the black. I'm going to back up a little. Sorry. So the question is the reality of that really landed on you? Is the reality of that, that if that is what you have done in Christ, you are really the richest person on this planet? Has that landed on you? Because when it does, you're not going to be the same. I always think of the blind man Bartimaeus, who was he was on the side of the road, and Jesus was coming by, and he was blind, probably half naked, didn't look very good, didn't care. All he knew is that he needed to not be blind anymore. And what did he do? Jesus, please help me. No. Top of his lungs. Jesus, I need your help. Help, help. Everybody's like, shh, shh. He didn't let him stop him. He needed help. When Jesus comes by, says, hey, what do you need? You're healed. Bam. When he got his sight and he knew who gave it to him, do you think there was anybody on that planet that would be able to shut him up? Anybody? Mm-mm. It's the same way with grace. When you get grace, when you really get what it is that God has done for you and me, no one will be able to shut you up. You know, there's a lot of church multiplication models that we hear about in our society. Well, you need to be really seeker friendly. You need to have a coffee time ahead of time so that people can kind of ease their way into worship. Or you need to have these types of things and these types of things. Hey, here's a church growth model. Let's try this. Let's actually transform people's lives and fill them so much with the amazing grace of God that you can't shut them up. So when they're at work, they're talking about it. When they're at home, they're talking about it. When they're in the next, it doesn't matter. You can't shut them up. I believe that that is the way we need to grow a church. Any church. And by the way, what really excites me, too, is that I often go to nursing homes, and I'll be sitting in a nursing home, and there'll be like four people here and two people there, and I'm sharing the word, and God's grace lands on me, and I get my socks just blessed off like you won't believe, and I'm bawling like a baby in front of seven people. You know, the truth about grace is that that is just as significant as whether we're talking to how many people are here, 35, 40, okay? Down the street there's a church where there's 600 people. Down the street there's 4,000. Someplace else more. The numbers don't matter at all. The grace of God is sufficient in every instance. So don't ever belittle. We so easily compare with ourselves. Like, oh well, that church, they've got this and they've got this. Who cares? The grace of God is very personal and sufficient for us. Now I'm getting off track. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Now peace. For peace, of course, we have to go to Philippians 4:6. This one I think I have memorized. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your hearts and minds. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Of course, we're heading into the holidays. It blows me away. It actually has happened. People are so focused on buying their stuff for a holiday that talks about peace that literally in past years, people have been trampled to death in a store where they're trying to buy stuff to celebrate a holiday that talks about peace. I rebuke that lie. If you got $2 in a bank account and you're making your gifts for your spouse, you can have peace. It's no way tied to your circumstances. Because last time I checked, if I'm going to heaven, I am the richest person in the room, along with you and you and you and you. Grace and peace. And this is where I just love it. Grace and peace to me and you. But it doesn't say through me to you. Like I said, I grew up in the church. I knew how to say all the nice churchy things. I knew how to say things a certain way. So people thought, oh, okay, well, that sounds really spiritual. Very cool. Hey, okay. So much of what happens in the church is all about, well, this sounds spiritual. So what we have is God up here. We're looking into God's word. Well, I need to have something spiritual to say. So, well, let's look at this verse and we'll add that to this. And I'll even put the verse in my prayer maybe, and that'll be cool. But it's all about, here's God and the things of God, and it's coming down, and it kind of comes from here, and then it goes out here where, you know, it might impact some people. But it bypasses me. I was on singing teams where I was going from church to church, dealing with people and talking about the good grace of God, and yet inside my heart feeling like I was dying. Because I had sin. And I didn't feel like I could talk to anybody about that sin. Thankfully, God helped me to find safe places where I could talk about what was going on in my life. And when I did that, all of a sudden, things changed. When the Lord turned the light on in my life as we were at a service and somebody else was doing some singing, and I was having flashbacks to those times when I would be doing singing and doing different things and things in front of the, and yet in the inside just feeling like this is not working. Why am I just can't stop doing stuff that I shouldn't do. And the Lord came to me. And I really felt it firm. I felt him saying, Luke, if you were the only person on this planet, if you were not in a pulpit, if you're not anywhere, if you're just some Joe Schmo on the side of the street, just sitting there doing nothing, in the corner of a room doing nothing, I can't stop thinking about you. And I want you to get my grace and my peace and my mercy. I got fired up. And I got a little belligerent too. I decided that I was not going to do the phony Christian stuff because that's what I felt other people expected me to do. I said, God, I'm going to operate only from here. From that place that you want to do this work in me. Psalm 51 verse 6 says, behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in my innermost being you will teach me wisdom. I don't remember, that's not an exact quote, but basically you get the gist. Basically what I said to God in my heart is, I know that I want to serve you, I want to obey you, but I can't do it unless you help me. And that was the one prayer that I was going to pray. I wasn't going to do a bunch of spiritual things. I was just going to say, God, this is my prayer. I'm going to keep doing this. So if you want to change my heart, then you got to change my heart. If you want me to obey you and follow you, then you got to help me to do it. If you want me to stop doing X, Y, Z behavior that I shouldn't do, then you've got to help me stop doing that. And that's when life changed for me. And slowly and slowly and slowly, what? Philippians 1. I don't remember the exact verse, but it's where it talks about, he who began a good work in you. I know it's in Philippians. He who began a good work in you will complete it, right? That's where the work really started. So grace and peace to you. So what I'm going to have everybody do right now is I'm going to have you do a little exercise, because they say that the best way to remember things is to not just sit and hear, okay, but it's actually to be involved, okay? So I want everybody to stand up right now. You guys have been, you know, sitting too long anyway. We need to stand up. Okay, everybody stand up. All right. So here we go. In this hand we have grace. So pretend wax on, wax off. Grace. All right. And peace. And then to me. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that be a spiritual exercise. Let's do it again. Grace and peace to me from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, you can sit down. That's your assignment. That's your new worship exercise. And worship aerobics in the morning. Grace and peace to me from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's where the rubber really meets the road. Okay? It's really easy to do that kind of thing privately. Okay? But it also says grace and peace to you. Singular, but plural as well. Because when Paul wrote those letters, every one of those, he was writing to a church. He was writing it to people who were in community with each other, living life together. Okay? One of the things that I know, when somebody chooses to let grace and peace in and say, I'm going to follow God, the enemy doesn't like it. Anybody get that? Anybody experience that? Yeah, Satan doesn't like it when we decide that we're going to let God's grace and peace in. And so what happens is he comes at us and he attacks us. And one of my favorite illustrations is Weebles. One of my friends sent me some after he heard me preach last time. And I was so happy to get that in the mail. And there's two Weebles in a Weeble set, okay? Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. So you take it and you knock it over and they pop right back up. They pop right back up, okay? One of the things I noticed, though, when I had these separated all by themselves and I just knocked it over, the Weeble would like kind of slide all over the table and get really discombobulated. But when I stuck them together with some tape, they don't go as far. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it funny how everybody, when you're sitting in the room right now, everybody's kind of got their space? What would happen if we took everybody and we lined you all up back to back? All through here. And then I came and I tried to knock you over. You wouldn't. You'd put David first. The truth is, you wouldn't go very far if you had everybody lined up. And I wanted to get a third one. I don't have a third one. I'm going to buy another one. But take a third Weeble and stick it right here behind these and tape them all together. And then push them and then see what happens. Not even going to move. So yes, we need to be a Weeble. And what does it mean by being a Weeble? What that means is whenever we are attacked, whenever we sin, whenever we do anything that is not where it's supposed to be, the Bible says we confess our sins one to another, right? So we have to be in accountability and support with other people, not just God. And we have to say, hey, this is what's going on. And the coolest part is that every time we do that, we are being that Weeble and we're popping back up, popping back up. And make sure you have a goofy look on your face when you do that. It kind of confuses Satan, you know, when you pop back up and you're like, you know. I don't know about you, but if you're boxing somebody and every time you pop them, they pop right back up and bam, you get a bloody nose. You get discouraged if you did that. I don't know about you, but I want to discourage Satan. Every time I appropriate the grace and the mercy of God for myself, I am discouraging the enemy. And I am encouraging my brothers and my sisters. But the cool thing is if we have a body, if we have a support system, when we get knocked down, we don't have to go all the way down to the floor and be in the muck and the junk for a while before we pop back up with the grace of God. If we have a body that comes around us, we can be that cord of three strands that is not easily broken. You ever hear that? And we can be the triweeble. Ooh, I just made up a word. Triweebles. That's what we are. So when the stuff comes at us, we're going to knock back a little bit, but we're just going to be like, that's it. What else you got? That's it. I got my peeps behind me. Hey, I went to Easter. How'd I do that? No, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, peeps for Christmas too? Oh, okay. That's what church is all about. We're in this together. We can't do it without each other and without God. Because what is the final part of the verse? Grace and peace to me and you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's God saying to you? What do you need to say that you don't want to say? What do you need to expose about yourself that you don't want to expose about yourself? Because the only way you're going to be a triweeble that doesn't flop all over the place when you get knocked down is to do that. I was going to a Twins game. It was one of the last Twins game where there was no one in the stands. I was on my way to meet my brother and his two kids that were coming for that thing. I was walking right by where I knew I would have to go by one of the strip clubs that's downtown. And I was like, oh, okay, got to be careful here. So as I'm walking by the strip club, doing what I'm supposed to do, which is looking straight ahead and praying for everybody in there, that God would bless them, help them, bring them to salvation. It's so easy in that type of a situation to get self-righteous and judgmental. So here's my illustration, my final illustration I'm going to leave you with. As we walk in Christ as a weeble, as a tribal. Well, no, I went to survival. I didn't mean to go to survivor. No, forget survivor. Take survivor out of your mind. A tri-weeble. There we go. Okay. So as you're going on this life, what you are is you're on a mound of ice. Okay? I know everybody's walked on ice before, and it's no fun. We have ice mounded like this, and right down through here is where I'm trying to walk. And stand on top of the mound of ice is where I want to be, because that is being filled with the Spirit, following what God wants me to do, resting in His love, grace, peace, doing what He wants me to do. Okay? Either side of that mound will get me in trouble. And the thing is that if I get just a little to one side, I'm closer to sliding off the edge than I want to be. But what happens so often is as we're walking through life, we had an area that we fell off before over here, and so we're guarding against falling off over here, and sometimes we fall off over here. So when I'm walking by that strip club and I go, okay, I'm not going to go in there with God's help. I'm going to go here, do what he wants me to do. I so easily, for a little bit, slid over here into judgmentalism. Oh, I'm so much better than the people that go into those places. Really? So I haven't thought thoughts about what would be in there? Yeah, right. So many of us, as we walk through our Christian life, we're sliding off and back and forth all the time. We can do this with food. It's so easy, you know. In church, we love our potlucks. But sometimes we can worship food, and we slide off this far, right? And then we feel sad. But then sometimes, some people, they worship thinness and healthiness. And they're constantly checking in the mirror, how healthy, you know, am I thin? And they're over here. So we can slide off either way. Any issue, doesn't matter what, legalism. Some people are like, oh, I'm not a legalist. I'm under grace. And so they're always over here just kind of doing whatever they want to so they can prove they're not a legalist. What? You know? Either way, we can get in trouble. And what keeps us from sliding off either side of this place where we're going to is what? We need a trough scraped into that ice. And the way we scrape that trough in is grace and mercy and peace of God. Because what happens is we can create a little kind of a buffer that goes right down the middle of that trough so that every time we want to kind of slide off one way or the other, grace and mercy keeps us where God wants us to be. So what's the only way you get grace and mercy? You ask for it. We ask for help and help when asked. Has anybody ever heard that phrase before? Have you ever tried to give somebody help and they haven't asked for it yet? How does that work? Doesn't work very good. Hey, let me help you with that. No, I'm okay, I've got it. See, we have to humble ourselves and say, I need help. I need grace and mercy in this area, in this area, in this area. So be a tri-weeble. Ask for help. Let's bow. Jesus, thank you for the work that you are doing. Thank you for your love and your care. Thank you for peace. Thank you for grace. And thank you that you are always there, offering grace and peace and mercy to us. But you will not invade our choice. You will not come in and make us ask for help. You're going to knock. You're going to woo. You're going to challenge us. You're going to have speakers come that say really strong things. We know you're going to do that, but you're not going to invade our choice. So, Lord, right now we give ourselves to you. We give every area of ourselves to you. We ask you to show up during this time. And I'm going to ask you to do something pretty boldly right now. I'm going to ask you to, my eyes are closed, okay? I'm going to ask you to take the first step and revealing some things that you need to reveal so that God can really appropriate his grace and peace in your life. Okay? So the first step is I want you to actually take your hand. Once again, my eyes are closed. And I want you to just raise your hand to God and actually pretend that those things that you have never told anybody else about yourself, that you have never said out loud, are in your hand, and you're saying, God, I give you permission to help me to get these things out. So do that. And the second part is that I want you to commit to God and say, God, what I am going to do in this next week, before this week is done, I am going to find somebody that I trust, that I love, that I know loves me and has my best interest at heart, and I am going to reveal those things about myself to that person and receive help and prayer. Now, if you want to talk to me, I'm available. If you want to talk to any of the pastors here at this church or any of the elders, anybody is available. And you can do that right now before you leave this place. But just know that it has to start with you. So if you did raise your hand like that, I'm just going to pray for you. I'm going to say, God, I thank you for each of us. Thank you for all of our hearts. Thank you that your grace and your mercy and your peace never stop knocking on the doors of our hearts. And we give you permission to do your work in us, Lord. And this time, as we listen to your music,